One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 33 after the hour, and joining us today for our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment, we've got Patrick Nightingale. Hello, Patrick. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Russ. It's a pleasure to have a chance to speak to you again on this obviously very important subject.
Absolutely. And before we delve into the asset forfeiture, you know, we've seen a couple of things happen in Pennsylvania recently, most specifically the medical marijuana law finally getting passed, and we've seen some moves towards decriminalization. Can you give us a quick update where we're at politically in Pennsylvania right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We have passed a medical marijuana bill. It is a limited cannabis products bill that will provide for a system of licensing 25 grows and 50 dispensaries to treat 17 qualifying conditions. Unfortunately, it is not the most patient-friendly bill because we do not have home grow, we do not have smoking, and we do not have distribution of flower material. But it is a bill that passed with widespread bipartisan support in the Pennsylvania legislature, and we are cautiously optimistic that this is a bill that can provide the foundation for a robust medical cannabis industry here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Relative to decriminalization, Philadelphia obviously decriminalized in 2014 and has seen an 80% reduction in their arrests. We have a decriminalization ordinance in Pittsburgh that chief of police is working to implement right now, and we have seen decriminalization momentum in other cities such as Wilkes-Barre and Harrisburg, and State Representative Ed Gainey from right here in Pittsburgh has introduced a statewide decriminalization bill that would reduce the penalties for possession of a small amount of marijuana from a $500 fine to a $100 fine. Remove the criminal stigma by making it a summary offense as opposed to a misdemeanor offense, and removing any potential for incarceration. So, you know, even though in the past I've referred to Pennsylvania as the hinterlands of cannabis reform, we are seeing some steady reform here in the Keystone State.
That's great news. Thanks for giving us the rundown. Now let's talk a little bit about the subject we wanted to get into, and that is civil asset forfeiture. And this is something that a stat that I just heard recently, that for the first time ever, the cops have stolen more than the robbers. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Civil asset forfeiture, when it was conceived, was designed as as some type of mechanism so that law enforcement could take the ill-gotten gains away from, you know, wealthy drug dealers. You've got a Colombian drug lord who's got boats and planes and stuff like that, and you might not be able to convict the drug lord, but you can seize his property and make it hurt in his wallet. That was the idea behind civil asset forfeiture. What we are seeing in practice, and it's something that you know, we were discussing at a recent ACLU conference in Washington, D.C., we have seen that it has turned into a way for police departments to fund their activities, and it has turned into, instead of going after those big assets that the drug lord possesses, they're going after the small assets that the nickel and dime drug dealer or the nickel and dime marijuana grower is possessing. In California, for example, the average civil asset forfeiture case is $8,000. That is not hurting the Colombian drug lord. That is punishing average Americans who, you know, may or may not be involved in any type of illegal drug activity, but they do not have the assets to go up against the government and to assert their rights and fight for their property.
Yeah. And for people that are new to this civil asset forfeiture thing, it's not required that the government actually proves that you committed a crime. They're actually charging your property with a crime, and it's guilty until proven innocent. So like if they charge your $8,000 with a crime, and it's going to cost you $10,000 in lawyer's fees to get it back. What's the point?
Exactly. They, you know, there is no requirement that there be any corresponding criminal complaint, prosecution, no involvement whatsoever. And the burden is a preponderance of the evidence burden, which is far lower than a proof beyond a reasonable doubt burden. If what we were doing is, you know, going after those assets for a known, you know, major drug distributor, then maybe there's some justification for this law enforcement technique. But it has been perverted into a technique to fund police departments. I mean, I've had chiefs of police tell me that their departments have literally become addicted to civil asset forfeiture funds because they need the money, because they've hired more officers or they bought more toys or whatever the case may be. But if we have created a situation where our police departments need civil asset forfeiture funding in order to meet their bottom line, then we are doing the American public and our citizens a profound disservice.
Yeah, and this that stat I mentioned earlier, the civil asset forfeiture proceeds have now exceeded what the estimated value of what was stolen by robbers. The cops have actually taken more from people than the robbers have taken from people at this point. And it's not always people involved in the drug trade, Patrick. I'm sure you've got stories, and I've read many of them, of, you know, people doing perfectly innocuous things like transporting $15,000 in cash across state lines to go form a business across the country. And they get pulled over and busted, and bam, that cash is taken away.
You know, where I have seen it happen time and time again is with the young African-American male who is going out to California. He's got, you know, a possibility to do a hip-hop record deal. He needs some cash. He's going out there with $20,000 to fund his hip-hop career. And, you know, police take it and they say, okay, you know, if you want to come back to Kansas and fight for this money, you've got to prove that it was obtained from legitimate sources. And what if that performer received his cash from performing at concerts? How are you going to prove to a judge in Kansas or Missouri or wherever the case may be that your money was lawfully obtained? It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. One of the worst examples that I have seen is what has been going on in Philadelphia until recently. There was one case where a young man was busted selling an eighth of weed from his parents' house. And the district attorney's office moved forward for forfeiture on his parents' house. And at some point in time, we have to say, what are we doing? We are the United States of America, where we pride ourselves on concepts such as freedom and liberty. And here we have the government literally stealing real property from people that had nothing to do with criminal behavior. We have gotten to a point where we absolutely must address this issue before it gets any further out of control.
And for the listeners out there, there is such a thing as criminal asset forfeiture, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. If you utilize property in the commission of a crime, for example, if you utilize your motor vehicle to transport a large quantity of narcotics and you are prosecuted and convicted for transporting those narcotics, then your motor vehicle is subject to forfeiture. If you have purchased real property with the proceeds from illegal activity and you are convicted of illegal activity, then your property is potentially subject to forfeiture. That is within the context of a criminal case. And under those circumstances, I don't think anyone has a real objection. Hey, you've been convicted of a crime. This property, whether it's a firearm, a car, real property, whatever the case may be, that was utilized in the commission of the crime, then I think that, you know, even the defendant will acknowledge, okay, you know, I understand that I'm responsible for this. That is in the context of a criminal prosecution and the government proving your guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, as opposed to civil asset forfeiture, which is the seizure of property on the mere suspicion that the property may be involved with a crime or may be the proceeds of a crime, and then shifting the burden to the property owner to prove to a court by a preponderance of the evidence that it's their property. It shifts the burden to the person who owns the property to begin with. There is no burden on the part of the government to say, hey, this is illegal property. It is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
So then is it in their best interest, them being the cops wanting the booty, is it their best interest to prosecute on the civil side because there's a lower standard to meet?
Oh, absolutely. And you see that going on as a routine matter of practice throughout the United States of America. Law enforcement agencies understand that if they have something that looks like drug proceeds, might be drug proceeds, they can have it seized, and the likelihood of the claimant, of the property owner, ever coming back to assert their property rights is, you know, next to nothing. It is far better than, you know, seizing those assets and then filing a criminal complaint and having to go to court and having to, you know, face defense attorneys and to justify your seizure in that perspective. I have had law enforcement officers tell me time and time again that it's much easier for them to simply seize the assets than to actually file a criminal complaint and go through the criminal proceedings.
So they do this in cooperation with. They're not doing both civil and criminal cases. They're foregoing the criminal side and just doing it on the civil side.
If you've got something that's kind of borderline, we're not sure if we've got a criminal case here. Well, at the very least, we know we can seize the assets.
Okay.
It makes it a lot easier for that police agency to, you know, seize those assets regardless of whether or not they've got probable cause to file a criminal complaint.
Now, there's been a couple of states, I think New Hampshire is one of them, that have outlawed the civil asset forfeiture. Has to be criminal convictions to forfeit property. Is there anything like that happening in your area or that you know more about?
Yeah, we have a bill pending in the Pennsylvania legislature. And, you know, quite frankly, every law enforcement agency has risen up in opposition to it because it is jeopardizing their bottom line. It's jeopardizing their ability to generate revenue to their department. And they're going to tell legislators it is hurting our ability to win the war on drugs. And, you know, Mr. Representative and Mrs. Senator, you know we have a heroin epidemic washing across this country and people are dying. Why would you take away any of the techniques that we have been utilizing, you know, quote, successfully for many, many years? So it is difficult in states that are more conservative, such as Pennsylvania, to convince our relatively conservative state legislature that this is, in essence, statutory thievery.
Wow. Patrick Nightingale out there with Pittsburgh Normal and working with other groups, I'm sure. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the rundown on this civil asset forfeiture. And if you want more information, where can people go website-wise?
I would say, you know, join us at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP.cc, or Cops Say No to Drugs.
Wait a minute. Cops Say Legalize.
That's it. So, you know, join us at Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Check out our website. And, you know, we have a group of law enforcement professionals, mostly retired, but who are willing to come forward and say, from my experience, this is an utter failure. And it's the voice of police officers and law enforcement that I think is going to have to take the lead in this reform.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Thank you so much.
On CannabisRadio.com.
Thank you so much, Patrick, for your wisdom there. We appreciate that. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, leap.cc.